I think so.
So my name is Haley, and this is Jenna, and today we're going to be talking to you about mothers' postpartum experiences in a baby-friendly hospital. And this is a brief outline of what we're going to be following today. So let's jump right into it. The postpartum period is a really important time for mothers to develop valuable skills to care for and bond with their infant. They're also adapting and adjusting to their new maternal identity. So in 1992, the WHO established the 10 steps to successful breastfeeding to guide institutions in an effort to support mothers worldwide, as well as to promote, protect, and support breastfeeding practices. So a question that we get again and again and again is, what is baby friendly? So this is baby friendly. It's a hospital that follows these 10 steps to successful breastfeeding. And just to summarize, they revolve around having specially trained staff with the knowledge and skill to teach families about the importance of breastfeeding, helping mothers breastfeed, helping in cue recognition, placing babies in uninterrupted skin-to-skin, and rooming in 24 hours a day. Okay. So there's a significant amount of research examining the feasibility and barriers to implementation, as well as the compliance of the baby-friendly initiative. There's a lot of research looking at exclusivity and duration of breastfeeding times. And also there's a lot of studies about staff knowledge about the feeding options. But there are really limited studies found that explore the mother's experience following birth in a baby-friendly hospital. So what do mothers really experience during this time? So this study aims to describe women's experiences postpartum using the baby-friendly initiative 10 steps to successful breastfeeding as our framework. So here's our research question. What are mothers' experiences following the birth of a healthy term infant in a baby-friendly hospital? So we're gonna quickly go through the methods. We used a descriptive qualitative design using 12 semi-structured interviews. We used a non-probabilistic convenience sampling technique. The inclusion criteria were women who gave birth to a singleton healthy infant, where a minimum of 18 years of age were able to speak and read English or French, and consented to being audio recorded, had no severe postpartum complications, and the infants were a minimum of 37 weeks gestation and weighed at least 2,500 grams. So exclusion criteria included diagnosed maternal mental illness and mother-infant separation post-birth. So interviews began following ethical approval from September to November 2013, and the nursing practice consultant at the maternal child care program at the baby-friendly hospital acted as an intermediary to recruit participants. So a full explanation of the project was given, and informed and written consent, as well as a short demographic questionnaire, was obtained. So these interviews were conducted face-to-face, audio recorded, and lasted 45 to 60 minutes. They took place in the participants' own room at their convenience, and we alternated in conducting the interviews. So the interview guide was developed based on the framework of the BFI's 10 steps that I already showed you, and we used open-ended questions to allow mothers to describe their unique experience. So we used qualitative content analysis used to analyze the data, and the analysis process followed the steps outlined by Bernard, which I'm sure we're all familiar with by now. So let's move on to our findings. These are our sample characteristics. So the mothers interviewed ranged from 29 to 41 years old, and their newborns were from 8 to 49 hours old. So three mothers were first-time parents, and nine were exclusively breastfeeding, while three mothers chose to both breastfeed and give infant formula. The majority of the mothers had a post-secondary education, and as you can see, most of the mothers were Canadian, but there were also women from England, Tunisia, and Ghana. So all the mothers interviewed talked about their experiences in a baby-friendly hospital as contributing to various activities that were really important for their mother-infant experiences. And this is our concept map. So these are the categories that we sussed out from the data. We have connecting with the infant in the top left-hand corner. We have getting to know the infant's preferences in the bottom left. We have feeding the infant and affirming interactions with nurses. So within this, you can see the subcategories that are in blue. So we also have around the edges of our concept map, we have past experiences, family and spousal support, attitudes and beliefs, and the baby-friendly hospital environment itself. So these provided a background for the context in which participants were able to become a mother. So these experiences were shown to contribute to developing their maternal role by helping mothers with bonding, caregiving, and problem solving, which are our themes. So this contributed in their transition to becoming a mother. So I'm going to first look at the top left-hand corner, which is connecting with the infant and bonding. So in the process of bonding with their infant, mothers were able to engage in one dimension of their maternal role. This was established by mothers connecting with their infant through encounters that promoted building rapport, savoring the moment, and providing security and comfort. So an integral part of the baby-friendly hospital experience includes skin-to-skin. So mothers often cited this as a useful strategy that helped them to connect and bond. So I think it's skin-to-skin, a nice bonding time, because that is the closest he can get to you. So moving on, we're going to look at the bottom left-hand corner, which is getting to know the infant's preferences leading to caregiving. So 11 of the mothers spoke about caregiving as a dimension of their maternal role. Caregiving involved getting to know the infant's preferences by being together 24 hours a day. So mothers described the rooming in experience as helping them to recognize their infant cues, establish a routine and pattern, and make care choices. So she has a pattern. I know exactly what time she's going to wake up and eat, and I'm getting to know her. So we're just going to also look at feeding the infant. So most new mothers really struggled with feeding their infant. They often describe this aspect of the experience as encountering feeding challenges and then trying to figure feeding out. So mothers were beginning to problem solve these situations around feeding. So almost all of the mothers said this in some shape or form. You don't know how hard it is until you really have to do it. It's crazy. But once they realized that they encountered these feeding challenges, they would try to figure it out. So I'm trying to get the latching on more figured out. We've got one side figured out, so we'll get there, I think. So they began by independently trying to feed and then by enlisting help from their spouses, family, and other nurses. So this enabled them to begin to develop a key role in becoming a mother, namely problem solving.
All mothers referred to nurses as an important part of their experience within this hospital. Affirming, mothers described their interaction with nurses like feeling like I'm in good hands, feeling free to be myself, and feeling supported. Mothers spoke about the nurses' availability and presence when they talked about supporting them and helping them care for their infant. For example, she was just there for me, or it made me feel like, okay, someone's taking care of me. Interestingly, though, within this, mothers that chose to formula feed or supplement feed spoke about nurses' acceptance of their feeding choice. And you can see on the bottom corner there. But you can see that when you say you're supplementing, you can see that, really? Why? You can see it, but you have to be like, well, that's the way I want it. You have to be firm because you can be easily influenced not to do it. She warned me when she left, well, I don't want to come in tomorrow and you're bottle feeding. However, overall, the mothers generally had a positive experience. Mothers talked a lot about nurses and how it helps them developing their caregiving abilities and problem-solving issues around feeding. They spoke about the tips and tricks nurses provided them to help them identify when their baby needed to feed or what their baby wanted. They also described about how having nurses around was like having a trial period where they could gain maternal autonomy while being supported. For example, one quote from a mother is, you can see the progression from the first afternoon to the evening to the next day. The nurses are slowly letting you have your independence, and if you want, figure things out. But yeah, you can always call them. What was really interesting that came out is how mothers did not describe the themes, bonding, caregiving, or problem solving in isolation, but how they're all interconnected, which is the dotted lines between everything. So you can see when the mother spoke about feeding their infant, they also alluded to connecting and getting to know their infant. For example, they described how skin to skin not only helped them bond, but how it also often occurred at the same time as breastfeeding. Or through breastfeeding, they spent quality time with their baby. Or how cue recognition, they knew when they needed to feed, or it helped them figure out feeding. And interestingly, though mothers talked about connecting and bonding and how that helped them understand what their infant wanted, the relationships did not seem to go the other way, where getting to know their infant's preferences did not lead to bonding, which is something we found interesting. So our discussion, we're going to focus on two aspects. The first is maternal role development in a baby-friendly hospital. As mothers described their experience in the hospital, it became clear it contributed to their development and becoming a mother. They described three activities within the 10 steps, skin-to-skin, rooming in, and specially trained maternal child nurses, as important. In our study, mothers described skin-to-skin as helping them connect and bond with their infant, which is congruent with literature that says skin-to-skin contact can have a positive influence on the quality of mother-infant relationships. As well, speaking to the interaction between categories I just mentioned, a Cochrane review found that early skin-to-skin contact actually contributes to breastfeeding initiation. Mothers described rooming in as not only allowing them to establish a routine and pattern, but also help them to identify cues. In a study by Dennis and colleagues in 2013, they found that if mother and infants were separated after birth, the mother's sensitivity towards her infant was decreased when trying to breastfeed. Another essential component within the baby-friendly hospital was having competent nurses on hand. And this is something all mothers talked about. A study in 2003 found that there's often a gap translating maternal child nursing knowledge into practice. However, in our study, all mothers mentioned nurses being able to overcome this and provide them with the information and skills they needed. A study examining the relationship between maternal confidence and competence on parenting stress in newborns demonstrated that it's important for mothers or important for nurses to help mothers increase their confidence through providing them with these tools to care for their infant, in turn helping them develop their parenting ability. The second aspect of our discussion is the baby-friendly initiative culture. The baby-friendly initiative emphasizes the importance of promoting, protecting, supporting breastfeeding. So for mothers who wanted to and were able to breastfeed, this is a great fit. However, on the flip side, for the mixed feeding mothers who either chose not to or were unable to exclusively breastfeed, they felt they had to defend their feeding choice. A systematic review found that formula feeding mothers often experience emotions such as guilt, anger, and a sense of failure around their feeding choice. They also found that these mothers feel they do not receive enough information and support from healthcare workers. As well, a statistics in 2011 by Stats Canada found 26% of mothers exclusively breastfeed for 6 months, but the majority do not. So this, combined with the somewhat negative experiences that formula feeding mothers presented, emphasizes the importance of nurses to be responsive and sensitive to what the mother's needs may be. Which brings us to our clinical implications. Throughout the study, we learned about the importance of the baby-friendly hospital and how it can help the mothers in their transition to becoming a mother. So it's important for nurses to keep promoting these aspects of the baby-friendly initiative as a means of helping the mothers transition. As well, although some mothers gave some negative emotions around infant feeding and having to defend their choice, they were generally satisfied. Nonetheless, this emphasizes the importance for nurses within the baby-friendly hospital to be receptive to all mothers' choices and to continue to provide the highest standard of care possible. Some of the limitations of our study include sample characteristics. Most of our mothers in the study were partnered, affluent, well-educated, having more than one child, and having family support available, which could impact their perception of the baby-friendly hospital and their experience. As well, our study was limited to mothers who had healthy infants. So for future direction, it'll be important to look at less educated single first-time mothers, mothers who maybe had an unhealthy infant or more complex postpartum experience to get a more well-rounded understanding of the experience within a baby-friendly hospital. As well, it'll be important to gain a better understanding of mixed-feeding mothers' experience within a baby-friendly hospital, as our sample was quite limited. So we wanted to thank Jennifer Samara and Dr. Purden for their input and advice and guidance throughout our entire study. We couldn't have done it without their feedback. And we want to thank all the mothers for being involved in our study and for all you for your support.
Representative of the population at that hospital, or if maybe certain participants turned out.
Okay, so the question was looking at mother's education and how does it influence their baby-friendly status, kind of?
Their experience.
Their experience.
Yeah, specifically the value of that they really like specially trained nurses.
Okay, if they like the value of specially trained nurses. Really what we found in this study was a lot of women were coming to this hospital not because it was baby-friendly. A lot of women didn't even know what baby-friendly was, or they didn't have an idea of what like baby-friendly versus mother-friendly was. So I don't think there was a correlation between them even knowing that these nurses were specially trained and them knowing that there was a lactation consultant on hand. So I think it would be a good idea to also maybe ask women before interviewing if what they know about baby-friendly hospitals, so we can see that kind of relationship.
A little bit, though, mothers did mention having done some research once they had decided which hospital they were going to come to, so that could have played an influence on the perspective. And as for, you had a question about whether this was representative of the hospital or whether it was just mothers that accepted our study. And I know this hospital reaches a very diverse population ethnically. I don't know about educational-wise, but I do know the people that tend to refuse the study seem to be more first-time mothers who were too stressed trying to figure out everything, and they said, I don't have time for this. So that may have played a role. It would be something to look at in the future.
I just want you to elaborate a little bit about the mothers who were not exclusively breastfeeding. You raised this as part of your discussion. I'd like to know, how did that impact on their role development? Did it have any impact? Because you were saying for some of them, they were caught in this need to kind of defend their choice. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, did the nurses affirming actions have the same impact, or I'm not sure if they spoke to that at all? Did it have any impact on the rest of the, let's say, tasks or things that they were developing to become a mother?
Do you want me to? So, in summary, for the question, it was whether the mixed feeding mothers, whether this influenced the rest of the dynamics within their time in hospital and becoming a mother. And I would have to say it may have had an influence on partially the nursing role, but they did say overall it was typically one or two nurses that they had they had to justify their feeding choice with, and the rest generally seemed to be pretty accepting. For bonding, it seemed to be a very innate mother's choice thing, and almost seemed to incur independent of whether nurses were involved or not. So I don't think it would have had any impact on that.
So one of the subcategories in getting to know the infant is making care choices. So I find that the women who decided or weren't able to exclusively breastfeed really made this category what it is, because they said to the people, I'm going to do this and this is what I'm going to do. So I think it kind of affirmed their caregiving a bit more than the other mothers who were just like, I'm breastfeeding and it's great. So the question is, how does the outline on the back of the concept map influence mothers in their transition to becoming a mother? I find that every mother spoke about their past experiences and with their family. Like, I remember one mother saying, well, my sister knows how to do this, so she's helping me with that. And they take these pieces of their attitudes and beliefs and past experiences and people who are around them, and they kind of insert them into bonding, problem solving, and caregiving. So either they get their husband to help them recognize cues, or they use their past experiences to problem solve. So they all used a little bit of these pieces within the transition.
And particularly with attitudes and beliefs, they brought them in with them. So for the mixed feeding mothers, or some, they said, one of them was the second time mother. She's like, the first time it didn't work, so she came in with this belief. And then that's how she guided her feeding her infant care from that. So these were kind of the foundation in which their experiences were established.
Did you see a lot of differences regarding attitude and belief? Because regarding it's from where you come from, can you, because you have a few other people from other countries?
That's a good question.
So does attitudes and belief are different from the people who come from different countries? And I interviewed one woman, I think she was the one from Tunisia, mm-hmm. and she said, my husband should not be here, and I should be not doing anything for 30 days. So that was her culture, that she doesn't wash the baby. The only thing she's there for is feeding. So she'll cuddle and feed, but she won't change diapers. She won't get up to get the baby, and that's part of her culture. And also not having her husband present, she's like, that's how we do it in my country. That's normal for me. So mm-hmm. yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.